Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 170, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
Desperate for caffeine, but coffee makes me poo. I'm craving loads of sugar, enough to rot my tooth now. I'm falling even more in love with dew, whether it is green or red or blue. I'm drinking this until it makes me puke. Maybe I should drink some water, too.
All right. That is courtesy of Official Dickhead for the verse and Christy Yamaguchi Main for the chorus.
Wow, that was a collab?
Yeah, I know. Wow. It takes many minds to create genius
to
like
make
that.
It takes a village. Powerful.
It takes a village. Yeah. And, of course, Lifehouse. So we can't forget them. What a band. What a name for a band. And I'm thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host, the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Jamie Loftus!
Few times about a GameStop stock, so I'm not just gonna sell when that shit drops, cause I ain't no dollar hack girl. That's that one. Came from Nick Drakovsky. I like it. I still don't totally understand...
Nope.
What happened there? But I do know that the guy that did it, the guy who you see his picture and you're like, oh no, he lived in my hometown for a while. So
did he?
Yeah, I think he went to college there. So we don't claim him, but unfortunately, he's been to Brockton.
The athletic headband wristband combo matching is an underrated look for sure.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented newly a writer of Rick and Morty. He is Mr. Cody Ziegler.
There's an odd hush going over the crowd.
Congrats, man. That's so exciting.
Thanks,
that is
y'all.
Super exciting. I'm both super excited for you, obviously, but very excited for Rick and Morty. I feel like some new blood. Yeah,
I'm very stoked. We were supposed to start as of this recording yesterday, but things got pushed back, so I have one more week to be very nervous until I get accustomed to the room. But yeah, I'm very stoked. It's nice because I'm still exiled from LA. I've been sequestered in North Carolina because I foolishly decided to come and spend the fall here, and then I didn't think that I'd get trapped, and so I've been basically stuck here until I can find an opening to fly back. So it'll be a nice thing to keep me busy while I'm here.
You are missing out, man. It is
LA is so perfect right now. So great. No,
you guys can finally eat out again.
Oh yeah. But
I've been eating outdoors every single night. No, I'm kidding. The fury I feel. The fury I feel.
But you did miss the Holly boob thing.
Yeah,
they
I'm
changed
very bummed.
The Hollywood sign.
I can sort of see the sign from my apartment, and I would like to see Holly boob for, the 3 hours that it probably would have been up before taken down.
Yeah. I do have to say, Holly weed, I believe, was the brainchild of a person. It was better conceived, I think, because the word works better. Although Holly boob, the sweatiness of it, I kind of do but then just in terms of the B that was supposed to cover the W was kind of slumping off, and then they try to turn the D into a B, and not our best work. But
yeah, why
still.
Why try to improve upon perfection?
Yeah, Hollyweed, going down in history.
How many people did it take to come up with Hollyweed?
Right,
it took two people to write your AKA. How many people did it take us to get to Hollywood?
They probably had a whole remote room. They had a mini room that put together
absolutely.
To crack that one.
All right, Zig, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. The Democrats delivered their impeachment filing yesterday morning. The Republicans, I think, are delivering their rebuttal or whatever the fuck it's called. I think by noon yesterday, so it's out there. You could probably read it. So we'll talk about just how that whole thing is shaping up, whether the coronavirus is becoming more depoliticized. We're going to take a look at two upcoming sporting events. The Australian Open in tennis is coming up, as well as the American big game. The Super Bowl that you're not supposed to call the Super Bowl. So we'll talk about that and just the precautions and how the two events reflect on how successful the two nations have been during this pandemic. We'll talk about New York City restaurants. They're opening for Valentine's Day. The best,
yeah, baby.
As we all know, the best day to go to a restaurant for sure. Valentine's Day.
What a bleak day.
Yeah, very,
can't
very
wait.
Bleak. We will talk about, there's a new rule for the Minneapolis PD about body cams that CNN reported on completely incorrectly. So we'll talk about that.
Cool.
Talk about the latest on the GameStop thing. We'll talk about a very wholesome story in the UK that I was completely unaware of, but it kind of came to a sad close. Captain Sir Tom Moore, the 100-year-old who captivated a nation, and very wholesome story that feels like an alternate timeline in a universe where our world hasn't become
completely
poisoned.
Yeah, we're not used to positivity
poisoned.
And wholesomeness.
Yeah,
it's yeah, nice wholesome what? Old guy story. I'm in.
Yeah. But before we get to any of that, Zig, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, boy. As I was talking to DJ Dan before we started recording, I finally got my PS5 back 2 weeks ago. It broke. So my latest search history was PS5 hard drive because I had no storage to put all my games. So I bought one. It got here yesterday. your boy's plugged in. He's logged in. He's in the matrix. He's downloading his games. He's backing things up. So we're good now.
So you the PS5 was hard to come by. You already got that and broke it?
Yeah, so this is what happened. I somehow managed to weasel my way in to a pre-order like in September.
Wow.
Then I immediately flew out to North Carolina, and I forgot that I had a pre-order until I got an email like saying, hey, your thing's about to ship. So I had to like scramble and somehow get it shipped to my house, my mom's house in New York or in North Carolina. And I got it working, and it worked for like a solid 2 weeks, and then it just bricked on me.
Oh, wow. Took,
yeah, and I was like, well, fuck. This is like the one thing that was going to keep me sane while I was sort of stuck here.
Right.
Indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So I had to ship it off, and it got fixed. Fixed meaning like they just sent me a new one in like 2.5 weeks, and like I got it back like 2 weeks ago. So I've been like trying to play my games, but I forgot that I left the only two PlayStation 5 games that I have, I left at my dad's house. So I've just been playing old PS4 games. I mean, it's a really hard life out here, guys.
I was like, this is a really complicated process.
I mean, I'm choking down these PS4 games in 1080p. I need 4K. But you know, I'm surviving.
I do love referring to it as playing my games, like your
my stories.
Like, yeah,
it's
my like stories. Yeah. Yeah. But other than immediately breaking, has the PS5, like your experience with it, does it live up to the hype?
I think it does. It's the first new game system I've ever bought in my entire life, so I think that's where most of my sentimentality is going from. I will say it is enormous. Like, it is the biggest thing I think I've ever seen. Like, it's it's definitely bigger than my laptop. It's almost as big as a TV that I played on. Like that's the only thing that's sort of worrisome. I'm like, oh, how the hell am I going to get this thing on a plane?
It looks like an air purifier.
It's enormous. It's like shockingly large. It's like it'll take your breath. It's borders on breathtaking, I think.
Is it loud? That's this is like the girlfriendiest question ever. But every time I pass the PS4, I'm like, why is it so fucking loud? Like,
yeah,
why is
I will
it
say this one, like, you know, it's on. Like, you know, it's using that 4K technology because
sounds like an old desktop.
It'll be singing. Like, it lets it airs a clip out.
The fan?
Yeah, it's just the, like it'll do this thing where like you're just watching a movie, like you're streaming something, and then all of a sudden it'll just be like, all right, that's how I know the movie's hidden. That's how I know this scene was shot. This must be like an IMAX scene because this thing is really working right now.
They're rendering double time.
Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated, great question, Jack.
Thank you so much.
I will say underrated is any type of YouTube cooking video. Like, we've all been in pandemic now for almost a year, so we've all been cooking at home. Like, I have really been tearing through YouTube cooking videos, but not just like, you know, the dude or the lady or whoever sitting in their kitchen. Like, have you seen these videos of like, it'll just be like some random like Hungarian man with like a big knife in the woods just cooking in a pot? Have you seen those videos?
What? No.
Oh, there's so. Oh, I got
cooking
to put
with
on.
What? Like a it, over a just, fire?
Yeah, he'll like build a fire. He just has this giant ordained knife, and like it'll be like him cutting up the meat and cutting up the onions, and like he always puts like the spices on the giant knife and then dumps it into like his like cast iron as he's cooking over wood. The one that I watch the most is called Men with the Pot. I think he's like a Polish or Hungarian guy because it'll have like salt in English and then it'll have like whatever like language he speaks translated, and it's just him cooking random delicious looking food in the woods with a pot and one giant knife. No spatulas, no tongs. It's just a dude with a big ass knife in the woods.
I love that. Whenever you see videos like that, I'm like, does this guy know about the coronavirus, or has he just like been in the woods with his knife for years?
Yeah,
that's just amazing.
Just doing his thing. It's great.
Mm. I do wonder, are there like remember that article right after Trump won where the New York Times guy is like, he's not a New York Times, he doesn't work for the New York Times, but he's just like the most New York Times reader that the New York Times has ever profiled. He's like got a beard and like a tote bag, and he like had quarantined himself off from the real world so he wouldn't find out who won the election and was like living in a separate reality.
I wish I could have that type of privilege. I could just escape reality for 4 years.
I wonder if he's still out there and doesn't know about the
maybe this is the guy. Maybe he's got his own badass cooking channel, YouTube channel.
Developed an accent.
Yeah.
I love isolated people with YouTube channels. It's so, oh, it's so antithetical. Good. It makes sense.
Have either of you seen the dude that builds like spas in the middle of the jungle in South America?
Right, like carves them into the ground.
Yeah, it's just this one dude. He has two tools, and it's just him like moving tons of dirt and building like elaborate spas in the middle of in the jungle. It's great.
How do you get there? Like, how do you arrive at that point where you're like, this is it for me? Like, I've done it. It's like the raccoon guy channel that he's like, it's this old man in Canada and he leaves out food. And then there's like 50 raccoons that comes to his porch every day and he has 5 trillion subscribers.
Oh, that's my life. Give me
it's
that.
Nice. It's nice. It's and like they my love octopus him. Teacher. A whole community.
It's like my octopus teacher, but with 50 raccoons, my 50 raccoon teachers. I do think that there's like a fascination with like the blending of, yeah, like a spa that's like dug into just like earth or, you know, a cooking video that's like the sort of complete other end of that continuum is that the new Amazon building. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's like they've created this giant like prism shaped spiral skyscraper, but like caked a park onto the outside of it, so that, like there's like a big
full supervillain stuff. I love it.
Yeah, that's, it really is. Sign me up.
At this point, why not?
Yeah, yeah, it's very Elysium, but kind of mixed. With, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh boy, literally any type of online discourse. Like I just can't take anything. Even if it can be the most mundane thing, like, oh, the Snyder Cut's coming out. Like I don't want to see anyone's opinion on anything, including my own. Like I don't even want my own opinion online. Like I just can't take any type of discourse at this point in the year 2021. Like I'm so over it. Like it's exhausting to the point where like if I didn't have to use, you know, Twitter for like work stuff, I would gladly just disappear into the ether and never come back. It's so exhausting.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's I earlier in quarantine, I used to kind of like delight in very simple aggressive discourse. Cause you're like,
yeah,
well,
but
it's yeah. Even that has kind of run its course. I just want to descend into like one of the dirt spas. Never yeah, be
like,
seen again.
I don't like it's so fun. Not well, fun with a big asterisk meaning painful. Watching like any reply guy reply to like the most mundane thing. Like I had a friend that put, you know, that meme that was going around of like Kate Blanchett and Taika Waititi on the set, be like whatever, like this girl in like blank boyfriend. Like he had one with like me explaining podcasting to my girlfriend who just came home from nursing, whatever.
Yeah.
And like it's just like some random person just replied, why would I care about this? I'm just like, that's a funny thing to say to like just a stranger, but like why even take the energy to like shit on this person that you don't know?
Do I care though? Like, can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful reply to any tweet ever.
Yeah.
That was Matt Apodaca.
Yeah, Matt,
right?
Apodaca. Matt Appy-Dappy. Shout out to Appy-Dappy.
Yeah, somebody tagged me in that because that is a constant
that's so funny.
Experience that I have. Yeah, but like the podcast today was
really
pretty
tough.
Pretty tough, you know.
Yeah, I think
we were talking about Trump stuff and that guy's a real downer. How about you? COVID tense,
yeah,
huh?
Jack, why is your podcast so negative? I've been meaning to ask you that.
You mentioned the Snyder Cut. I am like becoming increasingly more and more fascinated by this.
People like love what you love. I'm not here to pee-pee on anyone's parade or yuck anyone's yum. I do think it is wild. It's probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard of like a movie that was so bad that they had to rehire the original director and then dump $70 million into it to make it better, to then dump it on like a video streaming platform. Like I can't even begin to fathom. It's so wildly funny to me that they're like, you know what? We need to give this movie that no one liked another injection, a little stimulus injection. Let's go ahead and see what happens.
And by
that's
a stimulus,
where all the stimulus money went.
That is where, yeah. It's for like, has there been a successful movie that is 4 hours long? Like Titanic is 3 hours and 23 minutes, and that's the longest movie I can remember or conceive of.
There's definitely like a cap, right? Because it wasn't like Avatar like 500 hours long, but no one could tell you what happens in that movie. Like,
yeah, I remember Avatar being wild. Only thing I remember about Avatar is that it had the only use of 3D that I thought was interesting. Oh, but again, I don't know what happened in the story besides there's like a big tree that got blown up. And then Sigourney Weaver was like a cat lady. That's all that I really remember about that movie.
I remember the cat. I've rewatched Avatar a couple months ago. And
that's right. You're an Avatar stan. You're an Avatar truther, right?
I have a costume and I literally couldn't tell you what happens in the movie. Like, it just goes right through you. The juice cleanse.
I had no idea Avatar was almost 3 hours long. And I saw it and really loved it. Like, my eyes were like dried out by the end of it because I like didn't want to blink. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And then I went into a deep depression because Avatar World was not real.
I was gonna say that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite before times like non-issues is like, I can't believe Avatar World isn't real. I'd better die. Like, oh, it was so
simple. I think I am going to rewatch it now just because I haven't seen it probably in like 10 years or however long ago it came out.
And it's not very good. I'm so desperate
to see what happened. Does it not hold up? I mean, you're the premier stan.
It doesn't hold up. And I didn't like it the first time I saw it. but the aesthetic, like, I love the cats. I love that the cats have sex with their tails. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this, I don't know, I could get into Avatar shit all day, unfortunately. There's like a whole amazing story of how much money went into that movie and how much money was given to like all of these experts. And like James Cameron was like, I want this to be a blend of 500 cultures. And like he hired all these experts and then he used none of it and just made it like about the American army at the end. But there was all this cool work that went into it and they used 0% of it.
Well, that's fun.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah.
I actually became depressed that Clash of the Titans wasn't real, which was the movie that came out right after it and was like, they were like, oh yeah, we'll make it 3D. And it just like looked like they had like cut it out of construction paper. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about news.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zach Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island
And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back. The Democrats delivered their impeachment filing. There's nothing super surprising here. I'll just read like the summary. President Trump's responsibility for the events of January 6th is unmistakable. His effort to extend his grip on power by fomenting violence against Congress was a profound violation of the oath he swore. If provoking an insurrectionary riot against a joint session of Congress after losing an election is not an impeachable offense, it is hard to imagine what would be. It's literally, you know, describing what we all saw. I was hoping there might be like some additional evidence that they like found more plotting or collusion between the GOP and the people who raided the Capitol building, but I don't know if that is still being looked into or what, but I haven't heard anything about that from the people who actually read the, I think it was like 80 pages of the filing.
Did either of you watch AOC's live stream last night?
I didn't
watch the whole thing, but it was, I was moved. That was like so upsetting, and I'm so glad that she did it.
Yeah, can you talk about upsetting. It?
I watched, like I saw like a clip on Twitter. It's like, let me go check this out. And then I was riveted for like an hour and 20 minutes, however long it was. Like it was a long ass, like a lot. Like she really went in, but she sort of just sort of like walked through, like from her point of view, like what she experienced that week. And like the main points were like, yeah, everyone sort of like tried to spin it as like, we didn't know this was happening. Who could have saw it coming? But she was like, even like a week before that, like she personally was getting texts and messages from like other members of Congress being like, hey, you should like put together some type of plan because we're getting sort of rumblings that things are going to pop off next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Then she sort of walks through the timeline. She's like, you know, Monday, like there were like Trump supporters in town, like holding rallies and like they were sort of did this tense thing. And then like Tuesday, it really felt like there was a powder keg. And then for Wednesday, like the most harrowing part was like her walking through, like, you know, the like, you know, insurrectionists like rushing the Capitol and her and like one of her aides hiding in her like her room and like her office and whatever. And she was like trapped in the bathroom, like behind a door as the door opened and a guy's yelling like, where is she? Where we need to find her? And like there was a whole moment where she talked about, you know, she ran into a Capitol Police officer, but like the vibe just felt completely off. Like she couldn't tell if he was there to like actually assist her or like maybe he had something like a little bit more nefarious plotting. Like he didn't have a partner. Like he didn't identify himself. Like just a lot of very scary, scary shit. And like, you know, this is like me distilling down like an hour and 20 minutes of this. So like, I really do recommend people go watch it. She really spells it out and it is like a very terrifying, story that she like sort of telling.
Yeah. There's nothing to like, but it was like really effective. I thought like when she was kind of describing like the fallout of all of that and like how Cruz and Holly were kind of spinning it to be like, get the fuck over it. It was 2 days ago. And like, essentially, like, made an effective argument that that is like classic, like, gaslighting abuser tactics, mm-hmm. except instead of one person, it's on like an entire body of people and also the country. And like, yeah, I don't know. She broke it down really, really effectively. I don't know how, like, I don't know how she does it. I would be a fucking puddle.
Yeah, yeah.
People mention like the fact that the idea that the Democrats like don't have really a leader, like somebody to inherit the mantle, because it's this gerontocracy. There's not a single instance where I haven't been just like fucking blown away by her. She's amazing. Every time you hear somebody talk about the actual experience of being there, it's really, it like grounds it, because it is so mind-blowing and like far from what you would expect could have happened. And even the response to it has like found a way to sort of make it abstract, or, you know, to make it like distance us from it, and just like taking it back to hearing what it was to be a member of Congress as this thing. It just makes it very clear like what they were trying to do, what the people, the insurrectionists, were trying to do. One of the more surprising things, one of Trump's defense counsels went on Hannity last night, and it seems like a big part of their defense is still going to be the idea that he can't be impeached because he's no longer in office.
You can't impeach him if he's in Florida. That's right. The law. Yeah.
Which, it's like, there's not really a case legally, right? Like, they're historically...
Like, there's no precedent?
Yeah, the precedent is that you can do that legally and historically. I think maybe because impeachment is like purely a political spectacle, I think the Republicans are going to use the argument of, can't we just move on? Like, you're pulling us back into this rancor. And I do worry that it's going to be effective in the way, like, if you conducted a CBS focus group of like how people think about that. I do feel like, because of the way the media has covered it and sort of abstracted it from what actually happened and how dramatic and dangerous it was, I do feel like people will be like, yeah, let's just move on.
I feel like, and like the center, like the more center Dems, I feel like have already kind of been playing ball on that front anyways, where they've kind of like, it's this whole like unity message. Like, that is the word that's being used to be like, let's just, all that stuff that happened literally
that was
three weeks ago. Yeah, let's come together. Like, just, I don't know. I find it incredibly gaslighty and conflict avoidant. But like, it seems like they're playing ball with it, or some of them are. I don't know.
Yeah. And to that point, I think that's what I enjoy. And I enjoy is doing a lot of heavy lifting. That's what I respect most, I think, about these younger congressmen like AOC and Ilhan and all those, where they're like, I'm not trying to be unity with someone who tried to have me killed 3 weeks ago. It's like, I'm still mad about this. You get this shit figured out.
Right. And then like having the response be like, why everyone else seems fine. And it's like, I can't imagine how frustrating that experience is, but it seems like, it almost feels like they're kind of taking advantage of the fact that the entire country does not want to think about Donald Trump anymore, to be like, let's just let this go. Let's just let it go.
I think that's 100% the strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope it does not work, but it seems like it will.
Yeah. Especially because like Democrats are like, yeah, let's like not think about that anymore. Let's move forward. Because that was a stressful time when we had to pay attention to politics. And then Republicans obviously don't want to continue to be the center of attention for their shitty treason.
Stances on everything.
Yeah.
Already. The centrism is already like driving me.
I just saw an article that was like the two most powerful Democratic senators, and it was Manchin and Sinema.
Like, no!
Oh, man, what?
No.
They've got a direct line into Joe Biden's policy.
Oh, I hate it.
We got two people, we got a bully.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, that's true. The bullying part is fun.
Just kind of in keeping with the idea of moving forward from the end of the Trump administration, so January was the worst month in the history of coronavirus in terms of deaths, new cases, hospitalizations. We are starting to see at the end of the month and beginning of February a sharp drop in new cases. And this epidemiologist, you know, was like, yeah, the vaccine is like partially responsible, but only like for a very small part of that, because it's not to the point where it's like creating herd immunity yet. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that he thinks it actually has something to do with the political climate, and that like people, I don't know, it's certainly easier said than proved, but it just feels like Trump simply not being there on social media with the amount of disinformation. Well, I mean, people said like statistically disinformation dramatically dropped the week after his Twitter account was banned.
Right.
It's again like one of those things where the second they did the right thing completely belatedly, it became clear like how obvious this decision should have been. Mm-hmm. Like it does seem like Twitter Jack and Sucker Nerd need to be viewed
got
as like,
wow. Yeah, laid his ass out.
I have to say it. Yeah, sorry, bro, but that's what I'm calling you. It's like Neville Chamberlain type shit with like their insistence on not removing the president. Like as we get distance from it and we see like how damaging it was for him to have just a direct wire into people's brains. And, you know, the fact that they banned him from Twitter 3 days after the GOP lost control of the Senate. It's like that. It couldn't be more transparent that they were just like, whatever you say, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, that was, and now it's like, it is nice to see that disinformation is dropping, but now it's just like,
It's like the infection is just like in there now. So it's like, you can't be like, oh, well, we put some Neosporin on it, so it's done. It's like, no, now it's like you're gone gangrene. Like, you got to cut this shit out. Like, you got to cut out the rotten tissue. Like, you spent 4 years of unchecked just, like, lies and propaganda and, like, conspiracy theories, and now you have acting senators that believe in QAnon trying to come strapped into the Senate. You're like, well, we banned him from Twitter. You're like, well, yeah, but that doesn't do anything now because they're already here.
Right. And they're looking for something to do with their time all of a sudden. There's all these conspiracy theorists with a new wealth of free time. Makes me nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I do think some of them took up trying to cut to the front of the line of the vaccine, like in place of their conspiracy theorizing that the vaccine was microchipped. They were like, all right, well, now we're going to find a way to just get in line and get the vaccine.
Very chill approach.
I just wanted to talk about two sporting events. The Australia Open. Yes. since we had a couple sportos on.
Classic sports heads.
So the Australian Open is coming up, one of the four tennis majors.
Okay.
I think it's happening this weekend. And I think it's just going to be like pretty much fully opened with fans in stadium. I saw like footage on SportsCenter where they were like, nobody's wearing masks. And it looks like it's 2018 again. And it's because they underwent, like they haven't had a new COVID death since October. In all of Australia,
if Australia can get their shit together, what are we doing?
Yeah. No,
good for Australia. First of all, shout out to Australia. Good for Australia. But I am bitter about it.
They just did a short-term full lockdown and said it was called like a zero or bust campaign, and it worked. And they were like, we're going to put our long-term health and survival as a society ahead of short-term considerations. And that, so the other side of this coin is the Super Bowl, which is happening this weekend in Tampa. And I think it's a good illustration of how these sorts of things happen in America. The mayor of Tampa has been like fighting with Ron DeSantis for, you know, the past year, trying to like, she tried to get bars to shut down back when he was opening all the bars up and like wanted to get funds to pay the bars to shut down so that they could like stay in business without opening up. She did not succeed in that. Now she is hosting U.S. capitalism's like Olympics. she's saying shit like, we are climbing up on the world stage, and one thing I can guarantee you is Tampa Bay is going to dance like we've never danced before. that's a direct quote.
Dance right into an ICU unit.
Right. Yeah. Jesus. God. Okay.
And it's just like out of sort of capitalist necessity. She like has no reason to be confident. But she's... No. Yeah, she so like her, the measures that she took instead of actually like paying people to stay home, keeping things closed, asking people to sacrifice in the short term for a long term gain was a social media campaign using local celebrities to spread awareness around mask wearing. Basically nothing that's going to cost money.
We tried that. Yeah, remember when Kate Winslet taught us how to wash our hands last March?
Right.
What fucking good did that do? Nothing.
Did change my life, but not for the
I wonder what's happening in like Earth 4477, like the parallel Earth where like America is about collectivism and not individualism. And like we decided to, you know, bite the bullet and treat people like people for like just a year. We just locked down, gave everyone a livable wage, and we're just like, hey, you know what? We're going to ride this thing out as opposed to here where we're just like, everyone gets cheese hats at the beer party. Come on down to Tampa Bay. Like, what is happening? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, she called bars a perfect petri dish for spreading the virus back in the spring, and now the virus is at its highest levels to date, and she's hosting just the most massive event with, like, thousands of people just getting drunk together, it like, turning her city into a bar. And she's like, I'm glad we've decided to hold the events outdoors. So that's something.
Yeah. A little treat.
Yeah. But
well, that's very bleak. And I don't have cable, so I'm not going to be able to watch the big game.
What?
I can't watch the big game. I don't know. I'll rewatch the Aaron Hernandez documentary for the 4,000th time.
Just live tweeting there.
That'll put me in a good. Yeah, I'm gonna like really ruin everyone's CTE? Time. Yeah, exactly. Keep in mind. Yeah, so I'll just really delight in bringing others little serotonin down.
I'm about to expose myself right now. When is the Super Bowl?
It's this week, right, Doug?
It's this week. Oh wow, I'm really behind.
Who's playing?
Funny you should mention Aaron Hernandez because his former quarterback Tom Brady and his former tight end mate Rob Gronkowski are both playing for Tampa Bay this time.
Damn, I forgot that Rob Gronkowski. God, you couldn't escape Rob Gronkowski. They used to have a cardboard cutout of Rob Gronkowski in every Dunkin' Donuts in Massachusetts. You couldn't get away from that man. I'm glad he's gone.
The branding is strong.
It was Tampa. Really strong. Yeah. I kind of was like, where did all those Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah, where the Gronk stands come from?
Yeah. Let's see. I'll check eBay.
Yeah, it's a bummer for Patriots fans because they just got left. They got dumped for Tampa.
You know, I think that all of my uncles will be just fine.
But once you've seen Tampa dance like they've never danced before, it's hard to go back to cold ass New England. You know.
God.
So let's talk about Andrew Cuomo, pandemic hero Andrew Cuomo, who recently won a special Emmy Award for his televised press conferences, where he just like
what?
Literally did his job.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And even that's a stretch.
A book like that, how he handled the coronavirus pandemic, which like must have been locked like 6 months ago, like at the height.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is now reopening indoor dining in New York City at 25% capacity.
Fuck yeah.
Which
get those onion rings.
Yeah. Got to get those. It's still considered a high-risk activity. One expert called dine-in restaurants super spreader destinations. There was that South Korean study from the end of last year where you saw how one customer was able to infect another sitting 20 feet away from
them. Yeah, was
that
the one where they had the diagram with like they had like someone sitting at this part of the restaurant and another person was like 25 feet away in the airflow?
Yeah.
Like from the AC is what spread it around, yeah.
God, yeah. I forgot about that cursed chart. I feel like we should stop encouraging governors. Like if you tell them they did a good job one time, they'll immediately start to do the worst job possible and they don't care how many people die. Like
you got to start bullying them too.
Yeah, oh God, I love to bully a governor, but like it's just like every mayor and every governor, like they'll take the clickbait and then they're like, "Okay, cool. Like no one's looking." Let's absolutely fuck this up as much as possible. We got the Emmy. Who cares?
Yeah, his post governorship has like I'm seeing very Rudy Giuliani vibes for him.
Oh God!
Like just living off of this and then eventually devolving into just a mess. Because when you they're reopening restaurants for Valentine's Day. Because he knows how that's the best day to go to a restaurant.
I'm seeing that as of 20 minutes ago, 9 top New York health officials quit because of Cuomo.
Good job, Andy.
Maybe they didn't hear that he's also opening wedding ceremonies up to 150 people in March.
Maybe they were like, you should have opened them sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, at his press conference announcing this, he encouraged everybody to go have dinner at a restaurant on Valentine's Day and then get engaged while you're at it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just kind of a fun thing.
Enjoy the few weeks you have left. You know?
People naturally asked at this press conference, they were like, so when will food service workers be available? Like when are they getting vaccinated? And Cuomo called the question of whether restaurant employees should be prioritized, quote, a cheap, insincere discussion. Which seems
fuck that guy.
Yeah, really just the worst.
Okay, that's a real guillotine moment.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, it's like bad enough here having all the restaurants open again. You know, they open on Friday and all like the sidewalks are truly like brimming with people eager to infect waiters.
Like, also, isn't it like cold in LA right now? Like, I haven't been there, but it hasn't like been sort of like shitty weather. Like, who wants to go eat outside in the rain anyway?
I just don't understand how you could be frothing this bad to pay too much for a piece of bread. Like, it's just, it's not even nice out.
Yeah. It really put the lie to all the LA people who are like, it's freezing when it's 50, but then you let them eat at a fucking sidewalk cafe and they're all out there right away.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. So, not great. let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and
Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. So CNN reported on this story out of the Minneapolis PD. Like the title suggested, I'll just read you guys the title. The title is Minneapolis police officers must keep body cameras turned on during entire response to a call, new policy says. But if you actually look at the policy or even the text of that article, it's actually like the officers still have the ability to turn on and off their cameras like themselves. They get to decide that. Anything they say on camera can be redacted from public release, and the policy doesn't mention the punishment for turning their camera off. Yeah, so it's just more of the same ineffectual bullshit that won't cause a single officer who's interested in abusing his power to change behavior at all. But this is...
And classic CNN for rewarding it for no reason.
Yeah, just giving them a great headline.
Yeah.
See, they're trying.
Yeah. An effort was made, so... Oh, God, I hate it here. Jack.
Well, I've got something that's going to make you feel better. We got to meet the GameStop guy who made millions off of that stock.
And folks, he's ugly.
Look at this king.
Oh my God. I'm just like, this looks like this is how I picture how people look when they email me death threats. They look like this guy. You know?
He looks like a sketch character.
He does.
Looks like a sketch character. He's wearing like a t-shirt that says game over, with a color coordinated headband and wrist sweatbands and microphone.
All cool, yeah.
Yeah,
all he's a real gamer. Coordinated.
This is another article where the narrative seems to be, you know, moving back towards the side of capital and basically the side of money. There's a Bloomberg article where the moral of the story is this was all just a silly online fad that hurt a bunch of the small people and does not mention like the fact that the people were trying to use the market against companies who make a living fucking them over and the companies literally changed the rules like midstream to fuck them over again. Mm-hmm. But that, like, it's, yeah, it's just going to go real... back to the, remember to stay in your place, guys, because it's dangerous out there.
This is a real, like, a bizarro Sophie's choice, because the only thing I hate more than Redditors are
stockbrokers.
Yeah, stockbrokers. Yeah. So it's really, because I would like, I went into that subreddit just to see what was going on. And like, it was as Reddit as you could possibly think it could be. Like, a lot of like shit posts, a lot of like people just throwing around the R word just for whatever shits and giggles. And I'm like, do I really care that these people are becoming millionaires? And I mean, on the one hand, they are fucking over hedge fund managers, which I love. But also, like, do I really need more shitty white dudes amassing capital? Like, do I care either way?
Yeah, it's sort of like a bad track record.
The best content I've seen on it was like that meme of like the two monkeys fighting on the ship, like from The Simpsons, and a bunch of people around it cheering on. Like, that's the way that I see it. It's like Reddit dudes fighting hedge fund managers. Like, I'll watch them fight all day. I don't support either one, but like, I'll watch them fight.
It'll be interesting to see how it ends. It's like, yeah, I don't know. That I didn't engage with that story very much because I was like, I don't know. The Redditors are triggering for me. I don't want to hear what Redditors are up to. I certainly don't want them to have a bunch of money. but also, like, you gotta, like, I don't know. Dunking on Wall Street is good, but reallocating Wall Street money to Redditors seems like a very not ideal outcome. I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the people who made the money are like part of that internet, like, gotta get your hustle on, gotta grind it, dude.
Greed is good.
Yeah, greed is good. I'm just hustling out here making my mills, type of culture that is a real bummer.
Yeah, this is a really funny take on Wolf of Wall Street. Aren't they already like making a movie out of it?
They are.
Noah Centineo. Yeah. I guess Noah Centineo looks like he could be a Redditor. Why is any of this happening? This And he's been to Brockton. I just can't.
He's just been there.
Yeah, he's just polluted the air.
Noah Centineo, I need to know who he is, right? This seems like a thing that is increasingly...
I would argue in I don't know. He's at a tipping point where either he's supremely untalented and no one will know who he is in 20 minutes, or he is secretly like... Or he's like another Robert Pattinson where you're like, oh, I guess he was good. but he's in that Kissing Booth movie.
Right.
He's right? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in... Wait, no, he is not. I have no idea who this man is. I have no idea who this man is. He looks like the guy from Kissing Booth. Yeah. He's not. He looks exactly like the Australian guy from Kissing Booth, but he's actually American, and he's To All the Boys I've Loved Before guy.
That's the one, yeah.
He's like some Netflix movie guy, and either he's good or he sucks. That's all you need to know.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is bringing the GameStop stock saga to Netflix, according to International The News.
Well, that's exhausting to hear.
Like, my brain is melting when I say that sentence.
Damn, I was so sure he was that guy that looks like the same
guy.
Like,
it's been a long year already.
It's true, yeah. Let's not bring Noah Centineo into it.
God, I can't imagine what that movie is going to be.
Yeah, because it's not even over yet. Like, it's still still happening. Like, what? I guess they're just going to wing it and maybe figure it out. I don't know. It is interesting.
Andrew,
they're
Cuomo
just like finding and replacing the Big Short script. They're like, it'll work out.
Right. All right. Let's finally dig into some wholesomeness that still has like a depressing news peg. So there's this guy, I don't know, did you guys know about Captain Sir Tom Moore?
No.
Okay, so he was a 99 year old man who was about to turn 100 and decided to raise funds for the NHS by trying to walk 100 laps in his garden before his 100th birthday. And just like people just really liked him. He's just like a charming ass old man, to the point that he ended up like collabing with a famous pop star on a song that went to number one in the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
And he raised £35 million for the NHS, which is like incredible. Everybody loved him. He then got knighted, he just passed away from COVID, which is
he's got like a little old man mustache. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
This is going to be Anthony Hopkins' greatest role.
Yeah. It really, yeah. Because
that's so nice.
Like that ending, that third act where he like, you know.
You've got coronavirus, love.
He goes, oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
Bollocks, yeah. Oh, bollocks. What's all this then?
I bet he had, this whole story, I'm like, oh, even if they make it up, this guy has some profound last words. Everyone's going to be sobbing.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah, he spent his time like, his final hours with his kids, like reminiscing about their mom who passed away. And seems generally like an awesome dude.
What a nice palate cleanser from all the other stories.
Yeah. R.I.P. Shout out to him. Shout out to the UK giving us something to believe in.
Wow. That really speaks to where we're at, where our like new thing to believe in is a recently deceased very old man.
A recently deceased 100-year-old British army man.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll take him.
Yeah. I need this.
It has been a pleasure having you on.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure coming back.
Where can people find you and follow you?
They can find me on all social media platforms at Yay for Zig. I'll be tweeting that bullshit and spiraling every now and then, but you can find me there or at and also check out the Dark Weed podcast. It's a podcast for me and my homie Birdie Reed. Talk about nerd shit, anime, games, comics, all of it. That's been my main creative outlet.
Another one of our of the greats who's guested on Daily Zeitgeist. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, this is from Key Williams with two S's at the end. She tweeted, "Who created jobs? Rent, the concept of money. I would like to fight." And that's been bringing me joy the past few days.
Jamie, where can people find you, follow you, hear you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram Jamie Christ Superstar. And a tweet I've been liking, I don't know why it went viral again, but it's that classic picture where there's where Michael Cera and Aubrey Plaza are at Chuck E. Cheese, and there's a whole herd of teen girls taking a picture with Michael Cera because they don't know who Aubrey Plaza is, because the picture's from 2009.
What did they like date or great. Were they in...
they dated during the production of Scott Pilgrim.
Oh wow.
Oh my God.
Real Scott Pilgrim heads will know. I just sent you the link. It's an iconic picture. The end. I guess I'll attribute who reposted the picture. It was someone named Lil Sam Squanch.
Great name.
Oh, I love Lil Sam Squanch 66.
He's great.
One of my favorite Sam Squanches.
my 66th favorite.
And you recently closed out limited run, beautiful, brilliant series Lolita podcast.
Yes. You can go listen to the whole show now. It is complete. So if you're in a decent headspace to do that, I biased recommend it.
I unbiased recommend, kind of biased recommend it. It is really good. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Anna Dresden tweeted, "Should I get a Peloton or go back in time and convince my parents to make me never be born?" Andrew Nadow tweeted, "Started taking gummy antidepressants. They're super effective, but then I had regular gummies and felt the same way, so maybe it was just that." And then Blink Patch tweeted, just shorted some stocks. God damn it, autocorrect. I mean, I just sharded some socks. I've all been there. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. DJ Danil, you got any recs? Anybody?
Oh, God.
The creek.
Wasn't ready for this. Oh, God.
I do have one, actually.
Okay. Hit me.
Let's go with Hey Cutie by Artist Cutie, produced by an incredible artist who passed recently, Sophie. Just a really, really important, just an incredible artist overall. Their music is so amazing, and they're such a forward-thinking artist. And unfortunately, they passed recently, and it was a major blow to music everywhere, to be honest with you. And seeing the breadth of people that reached out to express their appreciation for Sophie has just been, like, overwhelming, and also heartwarming to a certain extent that, like, this artist touched so many people. So the song Hey Cutie by the group Cutie, produced by Sophie, would be my recommendation.
Hey, perfect. All right. Thank you, Danil. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, cutie. Yeah? Yeah, there's something I want to say. I feel your hands on my butt every time you think of me. Hey, cutie. Yeah? Even though you're so far away. I feel your hands on my butt every time you think of me. So, I've been thinking about you quite a lot. It's not that I don't. I just really want to take you with.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.